Well, I don't want to talk here because if we edit this for the interview later, it's not going to make any sense.
Look, this segment, Bruce, is timeless. Don't give out the time. If people don't know what the time is, there are other ways to figure it out.
A little Green Acres this morning. See a little bit. We know there's green underneath all this white that's melted. Charles Benke, horticulturalist, Lorain County horticulturalist, joins us this morning. He is our own Hank Kimball, by the way. I don't know if we've discussed that many times before, right?
Sure.
At one time, you were the county extension agent.
Correct.
Now you're retired from being the county extension agent, but right, you still do the same. You're still involved in doing all that.
I still am involved in a number of things in agriculture.
He still has his osu.edu email address that I emailed him to come in. In fact, tell him the story you just told me about you coming up here.
That's it. Me and my neighbor were discussing your name and WEOL at Chinese lunch the other day. And I came home, there it was, about 1:30, and there your request was.
Oh, that was, yeah.
Sitting on my desk.
Yeah. That's kind of, he said I should go and contact you. And when he got home, there was an email from me asking him to come back on the show.
How about that?
Yes.
Right.
It was meant to be.
It was. Here we are.
I had been thinking of you earlier, though.
Well, thanks. Oh. And, you know, you sent an email that claimed you saw some sort of flower already.
Yes. Believe it or not, the snowdrops are in bloom, and you were mentioning dandelions. They haven't quite come in bloom. The earliest I've ever recorded dandelions is about February the 11th when they come into bloom once in a while. They'll see a few lonely ones out there, but they'll be coming. Don't worry.
Yeah, this is a guy this is a man who records when he sees his first dandelion,
mm-hmm,
I guess.
Mm-hmm. You want to do that because it's important.
What does that mean? It means the dandelion has the upper leg or upper leaf on us.
Well, it does. It has the upper bud.
What should we have done to prevent that coming?
Why do we want that? Those nice dandelions do provide nectar for the few surviving honeybees that'll wake up during the wintertime. In fact, a couple of these warm days like we have, the honeybees have actually broken some clusters in some areas. They actually break their winter cluster and actually get out and forage around a little bit. And they are actually now up in the maple trees because the maple flower, so like on the silver maple, those first thing to open up. They're actually up there flying around at this time already.
I got an email or an announcement from the Lorain County Beekeepers Association.
Oh.
They've already kind of started some of their classes for people who want to get involved in that, too.
I have plenty of dandelions over the course of spring and summer. Does that mean I'm attracting a lot of bees to build a nest inside my house?
Not necessarily. They're just out there foraging in your yard. Usually, if they are honeybees, they have a colony within a hollow tree, but that's not saying it can't be within a void wall space if you have a opening for them to get in, at which time that will be about in March, not March or in May, when they will naturally swarm.
But more than likely, if you got something in your house, it's like what, maybe like the yellow jackets or wasps?
Usually it's a leftover yellow jackets nest if you've had some buzzing around in your house at this time.
Well, there was no mention of a polar vortex this year, so our winter wasn't as bad as it was the previous year.
Oh, yeah,
was
right.
It? I mean, I don't know. What?
It was plenty cold, wasn't it?
I guess so.
Yeah, I read my gas bill that just came in the mail yesterday.
Yeah, mine too. It's been a long, hard winter, Bruce. Where have you been?
I'd rather take this winter than last winter.
Really?
Oh, sure. Give me this winter than last. Yes.
Oh, I don't know. It started about the same time in January, about 6th, 7th. We got our first polar outbreak that came, and then we got quite a few there afterwards.
Yeah,
and then there was that one event where we got down to about minus 17 degrees.
Yeah.
That was quite hard on plant material. Stuff that is not quite suited to this zone. It's kind of marginal. I think we're going to see damage on things such as azaleas, Japanese maple. I know there's been damage to the peach crop already this year, so don't count on Ohio peaches this year.
Oh, no.
Yes, and the grapes may have had some significant damage,
too. Is there any damage to the Christmas lights? I mean, those
to the Christmas lights?
Well,
no.
They're pretty much been out there as well. I've got that.
I just finally got down my Christmas decorations yesterday outside.
Excellent. I'm going to put up your St. Patrick's Day decoration.
Yes, I can
too.
Move right in.
Or just something like green going on.
What about trees? Not only the cold, but we've had a lot of snow. It's been on the ground for a long time. It's melting. There's a lot of water out there. My neighbor's lot in the back is susceptible to some flooding. It's underwater. Does that damage trees and plants and shrubs?
It can. A lot of the species, such as the pin oak, do like wet soil. If you watch where they naturally occur, pin oak will be in a wet soil area. If we get into any maples, especially the sugar maple, do not like that. They like a drier knoll type area and will not survive in those wet areas. If you're in an urban area where there's subject to flooding, this time of the year is not so bad. It's probably more critical during the summer period when you get a large rain and then it floods. You can damage root systems. What happens many times is that root systems require oxygen to be alive, and when you flood, you force the oxygen out of the soil, and that can cause death of roots and then fungal infections into those roots. That usually does a lot of plants in.
We got Charles Benke, horticulturalist, with us this morning. Are we starting any kind of vegetable gardening or getting things ready?
It's a little bit early yet. Don't start your tomatoes and peppers. That will be about the middle part of April. You want to do that. Maybe the peppers here at the end of the month. But don't do the tomato seed yet until about the middle part of April. They'll get too tall and leggy. But we can start some onion seed right now. And I have noticed that it garden centers, there are rhubarb roots, asparagus roots out there. You can go and plant those. Dormant rose bushes have come in. Go ahead and plant them. They're dormant. In fact, you don't want them all sprouted out. Just when, if you do plant some, say, a new rose bush, put it in. You might mound some soil over it, and it'll take off and start growing about the 15th of April.
What should we be doing at this time of year? Everything, here we go. We've got a melt underway.
Yep.
And we're seeing more and more ground. Should we be out there? Is it too squishy to walk around?
It is a little bit hard on the grass to be squishing around in it, although I think I might pick up Bruce's landmines that happen to be out there in the yard, just as a way of preventing extra pollution into Lake Erie, as a way to get rid of it in this regular garbage area. But it's a little bit early to be applying any fertilizer. The ground is still could be frozen underneath. I would hold off on that until the mid part of April. If you're thinking about crabgrass preventer, the materials are out there. It's early. 15th of April is a very fine time to be putting it down. 15th of April to about the 1st of May is an excellent time to be applying it. Also thinking ahead, get your lawnmower sharpened at this time of the year. Because remember, the grass will be growing in about 30 days. It's hard to think of that as the, well, here we are about the Pi Day, the 13th of March, but going to be 13th of April, and they'll start growing.
Mulch has arrived at one of my favorite service stations. Is it too early for mulch?
Yes, it is a little bit early. You can buy it. The better quality things are the composted hardwood barks and the cypress barks and the pine nuggets. They last the longest for you. The dyed mulches are just nothing but wood fiber that will decay very quickly. You might want to go lightly on them. When you do mulch, wait till the soil warms up a little bit before you apply it. And that brings us into the mid part of April to do that.
What should we be doing in those beds now? Is the, you know, there's leftover some things from the fall that maybe
might be doing some pruning out there at the current time. And thinking of that, now is an excellent time to do pruning on any fruit trees that you happen to have. Any, like, say, raspberries, you know, other things that might be out there that you might want to prune. Any broken plant material from the winter where the ice came down or snow heavy loads, if there's broken branches, certainly those can be pruned out of the plants at this time. There's no problem with that.
What shouldn't? Well, I guess pretty much what we need to do as far as you say pruning, we can do that. You don't want to plant anything, obviously, if that's too much at this
point. It's a little bit early, although, like I said, you know, if you want to do rhubarb and asparagus, certainly go ahead and plant that. Even the dormant rose bushes can go in at this time. Normally, most nursery stock is not going to be available until later this month, early part of April. As soon as that's out, it can go in. That's been held in essentially cold storage all winter. It's been held at about 32 degrees, and those plants will not really sprout out and start growing until they get into warmer so in warmer weather.
Now you're tuned in to what's happening with insect invasions and things coming around. Is there any words out about things that people need to be looking for maybe this year or related to last year?
The only new things that are out there is this spotted winged Drosophila, which is a fruit fly. And
could you start over and say that again slowly?
Spotted winged Drosophila, SWDE, it's known as. But it's a Asiatic fruit fly that has come in and does attack many of our fruit plants, tomatoes being one, and many other small fruits that are out there. If you want to have a good crop without extra little wiggly worms in them, you are going to have to plan on some spraying to keep that insect suppressed. Our normal other ornamental insects, the viburnum leaf beetle is a problem, emerald ash borer is out there, and the usual parade of every other insect that's out there, too.
How about bugs coming in the house? Is this a good time of year to see the creepy crawlers?
Yeah, we have one of these 55-degree days that comes up. I'm sure you're going to see some carpenter ants moving around in your house if there was a colony in your wall, especially on the west or southwest side of your house. You might have an overwintering yellow jacket's nest that might wake up, and you might find one zipping through the house. Or you might find the leaf-footed bug wandering, bumbling through the house at this time, too.
Now, we had a fly in here. What day was that? Tuesday, I think it was?
Yeah, it was probably.
It literally just sort of fell from the ceiling.
Fly, actually living on the larva or on the earthworm is what it lives on. But they like to gather on houses, and then they find these nice warm vents or air leaks, and they come in and fall down.
Are there more to come?
There usually are. They're in the house.
When there's one, there's more, right?
When there's one, there's more, so start looking around. Need to be thinking about caulking your house up properly as the real means of prevention.
We'll do our best that we can. If people want to get more about gardening information, where's a good place for them to go?
Certainly one thing on ornamentals, look at the Buckeye Yard and Garden line, known as BYGL at osu.edu. They can get a weekly update on all the gardening pests that are occurring at bygl.osu.edu. Also read the local newspapers. Yeah. You'll find a lot of stuff there.
And every Saturday morning from 8 to 9.
And Fred Hauer,
the Ohio nurseryman, gives us some good advice. He's in Ohio, so he knows kind of what's happening.
Yeah, he's down in Columbus.
Within the state there as well. Do you ever travel down to Columbus or other parts of the state to
occasionally,
kind of share your information at all?
Occasionally. I'm usually up here in northern Ohio at several places, like over in Huron County, Erie County, over in Lake County, over in Trumbull County, where I share some of my information.
We appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for sharing with us. Charles Benke, horticulturalist from Lorain County, joining us